just about everything except for that acoustic guitar that I hold next to me. I mean, I feel like I've been through so many lifetimes since I began making music, and they're all out there on record, so there's that. But, I mean, I guess the most startling change in the last 10 years or so is being a mother. You know, I just have no longer have license to do what I do or immerse myself in my art or playing or my tiny thoughts like I used to. I have to do it on the sly now.
So how do you do that? How do you balance motherhood and this creative life that you lead?
It is tricky. It's just plumb tricky. I mean, my kids basically are threatened by my music. You know, it was sort of my songs are my first child, you know, my first children. And so both kids, I have an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they seem pretty clear from the beginning that, you know, even if they're playing happily by themselves for a moment, if I pick up the guitar, they will turn right around and make me put it down and make me focus on them. You know, they're very jealous.
So looking into your upcoming concert here in the Berkshires at the Mahaley Theater in Great Barrington, how do you structure a set list looking back over such a large catalog of work?
I try to imagine back to when I only had a record or two and had to play every song I wrote in a night, and it's so different now. It's just endless, and I can only keep about 80 of my songs in my head at any given time, I've realized, of the hundreds that exist. So I have about 80 to pull from, and I just, you know, divine the spirits of that day and that moment and that place that I'm in and what I'm feeling and what the energy is around me. And I just, you know, make a set list that kind of encompasses new and old, and I try to mix it up.
...2018 is a time of incredibly pitched political discord in America, and I know you've always been an outspoken artist with putting your politics forefront in your music. What are you responding to in the ether right now that's coming out in your music in 2018?
Well, here's the crazy thing. I've been writing a book for a year and a half. I mean, gee whiz, yeah, a year and a half. And so I haven't been writing new songs. I can't believe that I've written a book, again, in the context of the mom world. I have been sneakily writing a book, and I'm almost done. It's a memoir, and so I've been pouring all of my, you know, my writing and my creativity into this book, which is an interesting, you know, place for me to be in this political moment. Like you say, there is so much happening on a daily basis to respond to, and I've been working on a project that involves, you know, talking and thinking, writing about the past. You know, I felt along the way, you know, certainly from the last presidential election onward, I've been receiving many messages from the world of, Ani, bring it on. Where's the songs? We're ready. Okay, I'm ready. Okay, bring it on. You know, and I'm sitting at my laptop trying to make complete sentences.
From your vantage point in the world of music, how is the Me Too movement affecting how people communicate on a day-to-day level, person to person?
I mean, I think this Me Too movement, you know, is indicative of the fact that women's experiences are becoming more real in general society, which is to say in patriarchal society. The lives of women are hitting the radar. Women are every day becoming more recognized as full human beings. We still have a long way to go around the globe towards women's equality and emancipation, but you can just see with sexual harassment, I mean, the sexism, misogyny is so deeply embedded in our culture, in you know, in the sort of patriarchal cultures around the world. And it just seems like the way it is. Like, it's hard for us to even stand back collectively and acknowledge patriarchy, let alone, you know, address it. You know, so you see in these new glimmerings of women's stories being put out there in the public sphere and considered, and the sort of subtle shifts in society and culture when you begin to recognize these alternative experiences other than the dominant ones that we are so familiar with. You know, it's a process. It's a process of inclusion. Women have been working for so many generations to be included, you know, to have their voices included, to participate in culture, in politics, in society. And you see that sort of wall giving way a little bit now. And that's very thrilling. It's very thrilling for me to feel less like a voice in the wilderness, you know, when I'm talking about patriarchy or something, you know, dropping the P word into polite conversation. I feel that there is more receptiveness now than I've ever felt. I feel like less of a freak of nature and much more willingness in people around me to engage about it.
I'm interested in what kind of spaces that you like to perform at this point in your career. Is the prospect of playing like a historic theater like this hold any particular meaning to you?
I love old theaters. I've played them all, you know, all around the country and all over the world, really. And there's a magic in them. There's a collective, you know, history of human spirit and transcendence that sort of gets infused into the architecture, you know, these places where people gather and experience each other and come closer to themselves, and it's their magic spaces. And I get pretty wistful, you know, when I'm leaving an old theater at the end of the night and the ghost light is standing in the middle of the stage and my life flashes before my eyes.
Life in the circus ain't easy, but the